Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
You know, God created beauty for us to enjoy. Isn't that so true? That's why He is the Creator. Look at what He's created around us, the beauty that we see. And, you know, we think in pictures, and then we respond with our hearts. I always speak to the girls when we do like events and, you know, we put on visuals and we do the magazine and whatever it is we do, we call it eye candy. Can I be honest and transparent with you? We call it eye candy. Why? Because that's how we've been wired. We're different. You know, the story of the time when we did very early days, I think it was our third women's conference. It was then called Light Up Your Life Women's Conference. And we had a beautiful romantic theme as we have right now. But this one is love with an edge, right? This is romantic with an edge. But that was just the bride. This was like Norah Jones, come away with me in the night. Remember that song? And everything was dresses and pink and the usual. And husband leaned over to me during the promo, and he said, you can't play that music. No one's going to come to your conference. And I'm like, what must I play? And he said, you must play the band that he had just used at the men's conference, Mighty Men's Conference. And I can't even, if my son was here, he'd tell me, but it was like, like that black rock stuff. And I was like, excuse me, have you noticed there's sometimes like this jostling going on between us, the men and the women? Can I tell you when that began? It began right there, amen? So eye candy for us is so that we've got these pictures, we've got these words, amen? And it touches our hearts and it opens our hearts. Now, on the whole topic of imagination, it's quite a beautiful theme, because imagination is like money. In that, as Pastor P said tonight, in the right hands, it's the right thing. In not so good hands, it's a bad thing. Imagination in the right minds is a beautiful thing. It's a godly thing. Amen. And I love what the author and theologian Warren Wiersbe said. He said, the world is a vast theater, always presenting to us the drama of truth that makes it possible for us to learn and teach. You know, and then we see pictures of destruction. I don't know if you saw in the promo, there's this picture where the girl is standing with her back to us and she's looking at the field and it's all burnt out. You know, we need to be reminded there's something very wrong with this world. As much as there's the beauty, we live under a curse, and the only person who can fix it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. The world needs fixing, doesn't it? Yeah. And the Lord is the only one. You know, we see the bride and we think of the tenderness and we think of love and we think of how love ought to be. I've encountered girls who said their experience in marriage isn't what we expect. It wasn't love. It was abuse, amen? But if we look at the bride of Christ and the love He has for the bride, He laid His life down. It's true romance. That's how love ought to be, amen? And romance, it's a woman's love language, isn't it? It's a woman's love language. Then we see the warrior. We see the warrior woman and we think of how tough we need to be. We need to be tough because this is a tough world and God wants to toughen us up. Yes, He wants us to be tender, but He wants us to be tough because it is a tough world. And there are battles that we do need to fight in this life. Amen. And so I've entitled this evening's message, Imagine the Warring Bride. Imagine the Warring Bride. We see behind me, we see that's Tato. And wasn't she just so dramatic in this window thingy here with her sword going on? Wasn't that just beautiful? Just by the way, all of this comes out of the magazine and our team have done a great thing, but it all really started with the magazine. We'll talk about the mag just now, okay. So, we are not part bride and heart warrior, okay? Even though we're depicting it like that so that we can understand. I watched Aquaman. And I was hoping to get this response. Because a couple of months ago, when the men's conference was on, I came into the auditorium one day, and Pastor P and the team were busy, and here lay a giant of a prop, and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And then Pastor P said, that's Aquaman. Well, it's sort of based on who Aquaman is. And I was like, who's Aquaman? And that just stirred something in me. So when we were flying, apparently the actor is Hawaiian, and has this sort of like deja vu moment. I'm flying from Seattle to Hawaii and I'm watching Aquaman. Just by the way, I actually had to watch it 3 attempts because I fell asleep each and every time. So. But I had to watch it because my curiosity was stirred, and I was like, let's get in touch with the young people. You know, you can't have this grandmother not understanding where the young people are at, and Aquaman, you know. And it's not my thing, but you know what, I was quite surprised at the storyline. It's a very reconciliatory message, which really spoke to me, and I really like Nicole Kidman, you know what I mean? Anyway, but Aquaman is part land and part sea. Isn't that interesting? Because his mother was from the sea and his father was from the land, so he was actually called a half-breed. He was called a mongrel. But as I thought about that, I realized that we are half nothing. We are complete in God. Amen? There's nothing half about the people of God. Amen? We are not half-breeds. We're not mongrel. We're not half-saved and half-unsaved. I mean, look at our Father in heaven. Amen? Our Father. You know, He is always our Father. He's not one day our Father, half-Father. He's always our Father. He's always our defender. He is always our healer. Amen? Yeah. He's a complete God, and He wants us to know that we are complete in Him. There's nothing half about Him. So we are fully bride, and we are fully warrior, and we are tender, but we are tough. We're not going to be messed around by the enemy. Enemy's not going to come against us and say, I'm so tender, just push me over, I'm a pushover. No ways. When tenderness is called for, when that intimacy that we have with God is there, when those moments when we worship Him corporately or at home, with those tender moments have to be there, right? But when those other moments come, when we have to stand our ground and we've got to stand up for what is right and we've got to stand up for God, amen? We've got to stand up for our faith. We have got to do that. And that makes us both, amen, not half or half. So my first thought this evening is, God plays His part, we must play ours too, amen? We must play ours. It's a partnership. There's a part that we have to play. There's a part that only God, there's only that which God can do, amen? And then there's only that which we can do, because it's really, really up to us. And it's not all up to God. Oh, Lord, it's all up to You, but God to do everything. And it's not all up to us either. We know where our strength comes from in this walk with God, amen? On this journey, we know that we've got to rely on Him. We've got to be filled by His Holy Spirit. We've got to have Him pour His strength into us. Now, it's up to us to cooperate with God. 2 Peter 1:3, which was the verse that was up as you came into this meeting this evening in another translation, it says, Jesus has the power of God by which He has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know Him. Jesus called us by His glory and goodness. Amen. So He knows what we need and He has given us everything that we need. We actually do not have any excuses. Amen. And so He knows what it is that we need at a particular time. He's willing to equip us. He's willing to enable us. Amen. And we need to be open, obedient, trusting, and willing to be taught. So, you know, we become the bride of Christ. If you're new to church or you're new, tonight is your first time, what's this bride stuff? And then, you know, people with swords, what's going on here? So, you know, when the bride of Christ in the Word of God is the church. Isn't that beautiful? The church, men and women. I love these moments when I talk about this because men, you are the bride of Christ. Just get used to it, okay? So the bride of Christ, the church, is the most beautiful thing to him. It's the most glorious thing. We may criticize the church. We may be fed up with the church. We may sometimes blame the church, but God loves his church and Jesus is in love with his bride. And we become the bride when we are born again. We are washed white as snow. That is why we have those robes of righteousness. That's why they are depicted as white. Amen? And we have this beautiful, intimate relationship if we want it. Not everyone has that relationship with the Lord, even though they say they're believers, but you need to encounter Jesus daily. You need to give him time of day. You need to give him your first and your best. And if you can't, do it later. But you need to have that relationship. And it's a wonderful thing and it's a joyful thing. But you know what? It's all part of our preparation. Revelation 19:7 reads, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself." Think about that. Think of a wedding. You have the groom waiting for the bride. Actually, the part of the wedding that I really enjoy is checking out the grooms. I have to be honest, they get like this, and then they look to their best man, and you think she's gonna come, and you know they get impatient, and then they get patient. No, let me calm down. Is everything okay? You know, you watch them, and it's quite fascinating to me. So he thinks to himself, when she comes down, is she gonna be the most beautiful girl in the world? Is she going to be radiant? Is she going to be happy? Is she going to present herself the best that she can for me? Amen. Now think the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are going to walk down that aisle to see him face to face, that's when we're going to see him face to face. How are we going to walk down? Are we going to walk down? I'm here, I've prepared myself. You didn't have to do it, my groom. You didn't have to do it. That was my duty, that was my job. I had to put on the best. I had to make myself look great. I can't come down the aisle walking with tomato sauce or ice cream lollies stuck on my dress, amen? When she comes down fully committed to him. She has eyes only for him. She has prepared herself for the groom, and she walks humbly and silently towards him, and she brings a sweet atmosphere to this beautiful wedding because he has sweetened her life. Amen? And she beautifies the whole wedding because he has beautified her life. He has beautified her with his character, with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And she has kept herself pure for him. What does that mean in the context of the church? She hasn't dabbled in the occult while she was saying she has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She hasn't visited other temples where other gods are worshipped. With all due respect, we respect people who have different beliefs to us. But there's something very different about being a born-again Christian. We are sold out. We are not licorice all sorts in our thinking. Amen? One way, Jesus. We have a one-track mind, and that is Jesus. Amen? And what he wants and what he thinks. Amen? And you know, we make the wedding all about the bride in the natural, And to a certain degree, you know, look, what can we say? You know, we are the fairer sex. I mean, it's not my fault that God did that. He decided that's what he was going to do with the women on the planet. Amen. But actually, in this instance, it's all about the groom. It's all about him. This was his idea. It's for him. It's about him. Amen. And he's returning for his bride, and he wants her without spot or blemish. And that is where we come in. We're preparing ourselves to see him face to face, you know. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it speaks about how the world is winding down and how we're going to see what's going to happen to this world. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, it says, "So beloved, since you are expecting these things," in other words, since you're expecting the things that I'm telling you about to happen, the things that are going to not be so pleasant in this world, "be eager to be found by him at his coming without spot or blemish and at peace in serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts." Thought number two, God is equipping us to fight the good fight of faith. God knows that there will be weapons that will be formed against us that should not prosper. Amen? No weapon formed against us should prosper. And how do we counter that? We look to him. Amen? It says in Psalm 18, "He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow." And in Exodus 15, Simi quoted this tonight, it says, "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Yahweh is his name." So because he's a warrior, he speaks to us as warriors. He wants to train us and equip us as warriors because there is a need for it. You know, he's a conqueror and a victor, and he's saying to us, you know, "I will never send you into battle unequipped. That has never been my intention. I want to complete you. I want to forgive you. I want to restore you. I want to fill you. I want to equip you. I want you to be different. You are a different specimen on this earth." Amen. You have been born again. You have a new spirit. You have a different spirit in you. You are victors because I'm a victor. You are more than conquerors because I am more than a conqueror, says the Lord. What the enemy means for evil, I will always turn for your good. That's who we serve. Amen. And the Lord is saying to you, keep your eyes on me and I will show you. I will help you understand and I will give you insights so that you will think like a warrior, so that you will think like a winner, not like a loser, not like a defeated person, not like a victim. I think we need to get more angry at the enemy. We need to get more angry, not at the people around us, not at our family, not on the road. If there should be an anger in us, it should be against the enemy who's trying to con us, who's trying to defeat us, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy from us. Amen. Amen. And the Lord says to you, "You are able to do all things because I will give you the strength to do it." Now, I'm burning to read you Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, because this is what we're basing the warrior on. This is why we're not making the story up. We're finding some cute scriptures in the Bible, and then we're going to put on a beautiful presentation tonight, and it's all going to be eye candy. Well, it is eye candy, but it's from such a beautiful place of truth in God's Word. Listen to what is written in the Word of God. "Finally, receive your power from the Lord and his mighty strength. Put on all the armor that God supplies. In this way, you can take a stand against the devil's strategies. This is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers, authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, the spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly world. For this reason, take up all the armor that God supplies. Then you will be able to take a stand during these evil days. Once you have overcome an obstacle, you will be able to stand your ground. So then, take your stand. Fasten truth around your waist like a belt. Put on God's approval as your breastplate. Put on your shoes so that you are ready to spread the good news that gives peace. In addition to all these things, take the Christian faith as your shield. With it, you can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also take salvation as your helmet and the word of God as the sword that the Spirit supplies. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort to make every kind of request for all of God's people. Amen. So what the Lord is saying to us here is we've got to learn to stand up for what is right, stand up for what we love, stand up for our faith, stand up for the truth, amen, stand up for Him, amen. The Christian armor is made to be worn until we have run our course. That is why we're not part bride and part, today I'm just in the mood, you know, I'm just in the mood to put on my helmet. And the rest we won't worry about. Well, there's a danger in that because the enemy looks for the unguarded areas of our lives. Amen? And that is why the Lord says, put on all the armor. It's not what you feel like. It's not the cute. Yes, the sword. We all love the sword. I love the sword. I borrowed this, I think, about 8 years ago for a conference, and we never took it back because the owner of it said, you love it too much, you can have it. Mona organized that for us. Don't we look fierce? Didn't you like Laurel? She went like us. Just check the promo again. Okay, she goes like us. Well, I love the sword. It is my favorite because it represents the Word of God. Word in pictures, amen? Yeah. Words in pictures. This is the sword and this is the sword. Okay, so let's just keep going. I love what Matthew Henry said. He said, the combat is not against human enemies, nor against our own corrupt nature only. You see, we also have a war with ourselves, don't we? We have to do with an enemy who has 1,000 ways of beguiling unstable souls. The devil assaults us in the things that belong to our souls and labor to deface the heavenly image in our hearts. He wants to deface our picture that we have of eternity, of heaven, of what it would be like to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? To be saved, to live a different kind of life, to live at a higher standard, to be of a different caliber on this earth. Amen? He wants to deface that. We must resolve by God's grace not to yield to Satan. Resist him and he will flee. If we give way, he will get ground. If we distrust either our cause or our leader or our armor, we give him advantage. And we can't afford to do that. You know, I think sometimes we think that the struggles we have, it's just normal. Everyone has it. You know, mothers may say, oh, well, all teenagers go off the rails. And, you know, everybody has it. And wives may say, oh, all marriages go through betrayal and difficulties. Or everyone battles with finances. While some of that can be true, we do have an enemy. And we've got to recognize what that looks like. Amen? And we've got to learn to discern. Well, I'm not the kind of Christian that looks for a devil behind every bush. Trust me, that's how Pastor Andre and I have been trained and brought up in the ministry and in our Christian walk. We're very aware of who our enemy is. Amen? Yeah, well, you know what? All teenagers do go through difficulties, but not all teenagers become criminals. And not all marriages have betrayal represented, amen? And yes, we have a devourer. There's a devourer that comes to devour our finances. And sometimes we also help the devourer if we do not have self-control, amen? And that is, girls, why we need to have the armor of God so we can resist the enemy and flee from us. So the first portion of armor tonight that we will look at is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. That's the first thing in this passage. If you read several translations, they're a little bit muddled up. I'm sticking with this translation, which, if you can just bear with me, was the God's Word translation. Okay. So, it's a girdle of truth that holds all the armor together. You see, it holds the sword of the Word. You need the belt. You need the truth to hold the sword. You can't have the sword without the truth. You've got to know what the truth is. You've got to wear the truth. It's got to be part of who you are. Amen? And it's only truth that can hold the Word. The belt protects our lower body. It's where we keep ourselves pure. Enough said. Breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers our heart. It's where our emotions are, our intentions. You know, the Word of God teaches us about our heart. We've got to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Amen? And so we ourselves struggle with our internal war, as I said earlier, that perhaps we're not good enough. And I'm here to tell you, if there's one thing I want to tell you tonight, you are good enough. Amen? Shoes of the gospel of peace, our feet. You know, we're going to stand and withstand by standing on our feet. It speaks of stability. It's about not slipping. If a soldier were to slip in battle, it could cost him his life. Amen? And we need to be a non-slip company of women. I said maybe we'll have a t-shirt like that at conference. I am a non-slip woman. I don't backslide. Amen? I'm not slipping away. Amen? My feet are firmly planted. The Christian with their feet firmly planted in the gospel of peace will have confidence and assurance when he confronts or she confronts the enemy. Amen? Because we have our feet firmly planted in the gospel. Shield of faith. That's what we hold up when the fiery darts of the enemy comes against us. We hold up our faith to protect us from the attacks and from the temptation. Helmet of salvation. Well, it's what we put on our heads, of course. It's the believer's sanity. Pastor Andre did a whole thing on our thinking this year. It's been this year, perhaps. So it's been about the importance of our thinking. Our minds and our thinking need protection. Isn't that true? The mouth, that area of the helmet, it includes the mouth, the eyes, the ears, what we watch on TV. Now, I was just thinking, sometimes if you're watching something on Netflix and it offends you, stop it. Just flick to another movie or another series or something else. But if it offends you, then you must know it's also offending the Lord. Amen? And then it's not worth taking it all in, because it just leaves you a little bit icky on the inside. Amen? And that's where we've got to put our helmet of salvation. It's got to remind us that we are born again. We're different. Amen? And we must be careful what we speak and who we hang out with and all the dangers that can come our way through the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the thoughts, amen, that can try and push the helmet off our heads. And remember, temptation is more than having a piece of cake or a second piece of cake or flirting. They come in the form of, I'm very tempted to not forgive her, you know. You know, I'm very tempted to stay angry a little bit longer. Let's do it another 3 more years. Temptation comes in the form of bitterness and resentment. Amen. But we must fight. We must say, that's not who I am. That's not who my Father is. Amen. He's forgiven me, so therefore I need to forgive others. Forgive those who sin against you as I have forgiven you. Amen. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit. It's what's in our hand and what will also come out of our mouths to speak the Word of God and His promises. The series on promises is just so amazing. For forget not the promises of God, girls. Let's hold on to the promises of God. That is the word of God. And use the word of God. Use the word. Say, it is written. That is how Jesus demonstrated it for us in Luke chapter 4. When the enemy came against him, 3 times he said, it is written. It is written and it is written. And eventually the enemy left him. And that is our weapon, the sword. And the spoken word, saying, that's not what the word of God says. It is written. You shall bow your knee to God alone, and only him will you worship. Amen. So, the sword of the Spirit. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Isn't that beautiful? Let's love the word of God. God and his word are one. Jesus is the word. He is the word. Amen. He is the word. Fall in love with the word. Read it chronologically. If you don't like that, I go through moods of it. I do it and I don't, but I always am in the word of God. Take hold of a book of Isaiah. Take hold of the book of Psalms. Take hold of the book. This month, I'm going to do the whole book of Proverbs. Say that to yourself. And I'm going to memorize it. And I'm going to have the sword of the Spirit, not only in my hand, but in my heart, in my spirit, in my soul. And it's going to come through out of my mouth, because what the heart is full of, the mouth will speak. Amen. And my last thought this evening, the whole armor of God is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you know him and you know the word, you'll recognize the armor. Do you know why? He is our truth. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is the word. He is our shield. And he is our salvation. Isn't that beautiful? So in very essence, what we do when we put on the whole armor of God is we put on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And so there are battles that we will need to fight while we are this beautiful bride. We are the warring bride on the earth. Amen. And it ends off by saying it's not noted as one of the 6 weapons, but I believe it is a weapon. The weapon of prayer. You know, between Pastor Andre and I, we have learned after so many years of knowing God, not talking only about the ministry, but there are battles that we can only fight on our knees sometimes. There are battles we have to fight on our knees. We've got to be reduced to our knees, but we can't stay there. We've got to pray ourselves off the ground to a place of victory. To a place of victory. Amen? The warring bride is an amazing picture and truth of who we are. And that is what I pray you're going to take away with you, and that we're going to walk into the next couple of months of this year understanding just how beautiful and how precious we are to God, and how he has equipped us. And he wants us to have an abundant life, but he wants us to be sharp. Amen? He wants us to know who our enemy is. And, you know, let's use what God has made available to us. He's made so much available to us. Let's take hold of what it is that he's made available to us. And let's turn this world upside down with the gospel of peace. And when everyone else is freaking out on the road, how many seconds after you? Do you know what it, when I've done that in the supermarket, wherever I am, when I've done that or I've given someone a gap and I'm vus on the road, I'm law abiding, I don't like going through red traffic lights and all that stuff, I've got a conscience before God, you know, I do. But I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you stopping here? Okay? The truth of the matter is, when I've made room for other people, just for a moment, it strengthens me on the inside. I feel better. I feel better about myself, and I know God is smiling down at me, and he's saying, that's my girl. Hey, we've got an amazing Father in heaven, amen? We want to do him proud, don't we? Amen? So here we are. Let's turn the world upside down with the gospel of peace. Gear up for war. War against what wars against our minds. You want a fight? I'm going to give you a fight. I'm going to put on my armor, amen? War against what wars against our marriages. Fight for our marriages. Fight for our families. Fight for the faith. You name it. You stand up for it. You fight for it. I've got a son and a daughter-in-law and two grandchildren in Dublin. And this morning when I was driving in my car, I was prophesying and I was expecting, because Joyce Meyer this week, I posted her where she says, I live in a ferocious space of expectation. Yeah. Girls, do this. Expect only the best from God. Yeah. Every single day, expect the best from Him. And I said, Lord, I'm expecting none of my family to be lost, to go to a lost eternity. I expect their salvation. I expect them to serve you even better than I do. I expect the day that will come when I hear the FaceTime or whatever. Mom, Dad, we're going to church. We gave our hearts to Jesus. Live in that expectation, amen? Why don't we? Why must we live in the expectation of bad things all the time? Because we're bombarded by negativity on television, on the news. Amen? That is why we need the Word of God. That's why we need to fill ourselves with truth, with positivity. I was reading about David in his war battles, which will probably come out later. But, you know, where it speaks about how he, his wives and his children and his whatever was stolen from him while they were out on another battle. Do you remember that part in the Word of God? And he comes back and everything's gone and his own men are turning against him. I think it's 1 Samuel 13. And then it says this, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I said to Pastor Andre tonight, and earlier today actually, I said to him, it tells you he did that, but what did he do? And then during praise and worship, God spoke to me. And I leaned over to Pastor Andre and I said, this is how he strengthened himself in the Lord. He discovered that the joy of the Lord is his strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's there. It's somewhere. It's deep in the recesses, but it's there to be found. And if we're in the Word and we're in God and we love Him and we're intimate with Him, we will find it within ourselves to bring that to the fore and to strengthen ourselves in the Lord.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.